This week, there's actually a double Torah portion, and so there's also two Haftorahs, and there's some difference as to how the Haftorahs are read, whether you're Ashkenazic or you're Sephardic, so you'll forgive me if what I mention isn't your tradition, but it's still important nonetheless. And the Haftorah for the first Torah portion, Achrimot, which discusses various laws, discusses the Yom Kippur sacrifice and so on and so forth, it asks the question of the Jewish people. The prophet Amos is asking the question, are you not like the Cushites? And the Cushites are perhaps Ethiopians or something along those lines, some black African country. And the Torah will often use the imagery of blackness or darkness in general to indicate some kind of lack of understanding or lack of divine truth or consciousness. But there's also a positive side where the Torah uses darkness, and that is a level of godliness, of divinity, that transcends revelation. Like the verse says in Psalms 18:12, he made darkness his concealment. Right? So God is sort of concealed in the darkness because he's beyond our reason and our understanding. And it's that context when God refers to the Jewish people as Cushites that he is emphasizing their innate ability and unconditional love of God and this super consciousness, which is like the inherent love that a child has towards their parents. And it's that unconditional love that we have for God, because of that, that God loves us reciprocally, meaning unconditionally. Just like we have unconditional love for God, God has an unconditional love for us. And the Midrash even refers to that super-rational love as the black fire in which the Torah is written. In the second Haftorah, the prophet Ezekiel refers to the land of Israel as the most glorious of all lands. Now, the word he uses there is tzvi, which if you know a little Hebrew, you'll recognize that tzvi actually means a deer. And so the Talmud questions, why is the word tzvi, deer, used to describe the land of Israel? And it does so by describing various cities that hold this many people, you know, 600,000 people here, and many more times that over there. And other rabbis say, what are you talking about? I've seen that place, and there's no way that it holds that many people. And so the reply is that the land of Israel is called the land of the deer. And just as the skin of a deer shrinks and can't hold its flesh, so too the land of Israel shrinks, and it can expand and find room when it's inhabited, but when it's not inhabited, it contracts like the skin of a deer. So too, just like if you take the skin off of a deer after it's dead, it's going to shrink and it's not going to be able to fit over another deer. That's just sort of what naturally happens. So too, the land of Israel naturally expands to fill its inhabitants, but if it's not inhabited, then the land of Israel itself shrinks. And so, Kabbalistically, the land of Israel is an expression of what's called the Sphera of Malchut, which means kingship or sovereignty, meaning it's sort of the place in which creation filters through and comes out, and that transforms the world into God's home. And so once that goal is realized, the holiness of the land of Israel will spread and expand over the entire world, which fits with that concept of the deer skin stretching over the skin of the deer. Besides that, the land of Israel is also called the community, or the sphere of Malchus is also called Knesset Israel, which means the community of Israel, which is a reference to the reservoir of Jewish souls from which parts of our souls descend into physical bodies, and where they return after their earthly life. And this elasticity of the sphera of malchut constitutes one of the defining characteristics of the Jewish soul and personality. By virtue of our divine soul, we are also able to spiritually expand and contract. And we can even give up our selfhood in order to be open to higher levels of divine consciousness. And that's why the Jewish people are also likened to the moon, which similarly waxes and wanes and even disappears entirely. So it's interesting that we have Yom HaAtzma'ut, right, which is Independence Day. Atzma'ut means self, right? It's your existence, it's yourself. And so we have this mastery over ourselves to expand and have great spiritual achievements, but we can also contract and give up of ourselves, making our whole existence not about us, but about God. And the essence of God, the etzem, from where the word atzma'ut comes, it's all about connecting to the essence of God. Shabbat shalom.